I think the difficulty and the thing that people could potentially do better at is holding on to people. Why did they leave? Did you talk to them enough? So often people are like, I want to leave. Just talk to them. I guarantee you, you'll find a way out.
Welcome to the Hospitality Podcast.
Where's the lamb sauce?
Come on, man.
I just need it.
This is the lamb.
Where's the lamb sauce?
Presented by Arthur Gomez.
God damn, I just spent $8,000 on some f***ing wine.
And Quentin Wind.
What are you?
An idiot sandwich.
So pour yourself a glass, because we're diving into the world of restaurants, kitchen, and bar. The Hospitality Podcast.
Hey, welcome, guys.
Hey, bonjour, guys.
We're back again for a new episode.
We're going into recruitment.
Yeah, indeed, with Lauren from Home Hospitality.
Yeah, and she's going to tell us everything about how she started her agency. And we're going to tackle the subject of recruitment, which is very hard these days in the hospitality.
And if you guys have any guests you would like us to have on the podcast,
just send us a little message on Instagram. And from now, let's just enjoy the
let's
podcast.
Start the podcast. Welcome, Lauren.
Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Just before the England game.
Just before the game. So, Lauren, you're the founder of Home Hospitality.
Indeed. Right?
Can you tell us a bit more about Home Hospitality?
Exactly. So we started in about 2018. So we're 6 years in now, which is crazy. Oh. But we started just me. When I say we, very much me for the first 3 years. And I brought on my first employee, Hayley, in 2021. We are now very soon to be six. So essentially been quite organic growth. We do the recruitment or support businesses with recruitment in hospitality. A very, very small, perfectly formed, curated selection of restaurants.
Okay.
So mostly restaurants, I'd say, yeah.
Okay, so you're working mostly with restaurants? Are you working a bit with bars, hotels?
Do you know
as
what?
Well?
We have a go. We've had our goes at slightly broadening our speciality in our niche. When I say hotels, we do really small boutique hotels on the coast in the country. So we have a hotel bit, but we're talking like tiny, very much food focused hotels. Okay. And so in terms of bars, we've had a go with cocktails. Do you know what we are? We are excellent in our area, which is beautiful quality led restaurants in London and wine bars. Any wine focus, not just natural, but let's be honest.
Okay, yeah.
we've got a vibe and we've got a following for a reason. And then we also are now pretty known for and starting to build more and more of countryside relocations. So we do quite a lot of, I just told you I moved to St. Leonard's down on the south coast recently. That is a really cool area, and we have a lot of countryside stuff like the Tillingham Wine Estate. We work with them, a number of other businesses, countryside, Shropshire, Norfolk, all of these gorgeous places that people might want to move to from London, and we seem to be nailing that, to be honest. So that's our London and a bit of country.
That's nice. So why did you decide a few years ago to create your own company? You used to work in hospitality before?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as a brief summary, I grew up through management. I went to university in Leeds. I studied public relations, graduated, I've worked in Pizza Express throughout my university times. I did 10 years at Pizza Express.
Oh, wow.
From 15 years old. Yeah. And I graduated with a dreadful result because I actually didn't like my degree or just too many all-nighters. Like not in the library, I mean, and got a terrible result. And I just remember going to Pizza Express, going to my GM because I had to do a shift that evening. And I'd had I got a 2-2 and I wasn't happy with it. And I was really upset. And she hugged me and she said, don't worry, I didn't get a degree. And look what I'm doing now. And I was like, oh, God, I could never be a GM at Pizza Express. No way. And then I think within 2 months I was. And so, yeah, basically it starts there as everyone's did, right? Like your journey is accidental and... Yeah, not as you planned, but actually I absolutely loved it. So starting my journey through management with Pizza Express, moved on to another brasserie-style restaurant.
In London?
After that, a chainy. I'm proper a branded girly, right? I'm branded restaurants through and through. So then after my little soiree into a brasserie world, I then went to work at Raymond Blanc's Patisseries as area manager. Yeah. For a year and a half. That was my little first operations stint. And then I went on to become head of operations at Everyman Cinemas, which is like boutique-y kind of cinemas, yep. which is very much still a branded operation, but I was able to bring quite a lot of restaurant knowledge to that role. So I was there for like 6 or 7 years, and I nice. Loved that. Yeah, but I was made redundant out of the blue, actually, completely out of the blue, which was absolutely one of the most harrowing, horrendous, awful, and just shocking experiences for like a workaholic to just suddenly yeah. out of the blue just be called in for that. But without that money, yeah. I wouldn't have been able to just start up on my own.
We checked the Instagram page so before you arrived, mm-hmm. and so we saw your kind of like focus on the operation role.
My Substack I write is yeah. really focused on ops because okay. everybody wants ops, right? That's yeah. like the goal, to get out of restaurants. Everyone thinks that ops is like, oh, how do I get out of service, out of the night times and the weekends and everything? Oh, I need to go into ops. And I've just been doing a bit of clarification on a Substack about what ops can look like for people and how what routes there are off the floor, as everybody is so desperate to not do that. Actually, we look after roles across these restaurants that we work with in different management levels. So it's far from just ops. It's lots of junior management up to GMs, head chefs, exec chefs, and ops as well.
Okay, yeah. So it's not just a focus.
It's not ops, but I just have a lot of experience in that, and also so keen to tell everybody that it's not the holy grail, and it's actually yeah. really hard also. So that's been my Substack outlet, which I've enjoyed.
It sounds very hard. You used to be an operation manager yeah. for Locotel.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of the most epic time of my life, hardest time yeah, of my life. It's horrible.
I don't play it down.
I mean, it's horrible. It's great. But at the same time, it's the experience that comes with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got stories. It's same. Never thought it would have happened.
Exactly.
And you see stuff that you've never imagined
honestly,
you would see. But yeah, you come out with a good...
Exactly. You know. So I'm not discouraging anyone from trying to pursue it, but there just aren't enough ops jobs. So I'm saying actually look at other avenues to make your future look how you might want in hospitality without so many evenings or weekends, which everyone, or service, which people fear so much yeah. and want out of.
So why recruitment? I mean, you know, you came out of ops, obviously, and then recruitment. What made you think of recruiting?
Oh, I haven't even got a great story about that. It's not like, oh, I'm just looking at how poorly recruitment was done and I just wanted to do better. No, I had no job,
okay.
had some money and was like, okay, what shall I do? Very little confidence, actually, just given what had happened. And I, quite frankly, wanted to have a baby. And I was like, how am I going to get back into ops and work? And still, I was 32 and suddenly like, And so honestly, I just thought I wanted to do training. Let me just try to be a training consultant, because that was my speciality, was training. Like, okay. I felt like I was the best trainer ever. Like everyone okay. always thinks they're so good at training and people. And I thought maybe I can go and help people. And I did get a really good gig, actually. I helped the Deliveroo business with all of their dark kitchens and train, okay. putting career paths in for chefs. So I did that initially. Every time I was approaching people about recruitment, training, they would say, oh, yeah, but do you know where I can get any good people? I really need people. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do recruitment. Recruitment has a really bad rep across everywhere, not just hospitality.
Yeah,
but, you know, like recruitment is not what I was like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. And then I got a couple of really great jobs in recruit. Like people were asking me, could you find me a manager? I was like, I'll have a go, and ended up. And it just became quite organic in that actually turns out what is there more to love than talking to people, finding them great jobs and connecting that piece. Mm. And that was it, basically.
So it just makes sense for
you. It just made sense. It was like very natural. And also, it's just very different to how a normal recruiter would work. Mm. And people saw the value in working with us for that reason, or me at that time on my own. It's not like a numbers game. It's not like a volume. How many CVs can I send you? Mm. And how many, like, yeah, let me just see how many people you might want to see of mine and I'll charge you a big fee and I'll drop them and walk away. So,
yeah,
we've built something, I like to think, different. Well, definitely different.
It's finding the good people for the good restaurants. Right?
Do you know what? It's not. It's the total opposite. And I feel like that's the difference about us. It's not finding good people for the jobs. It's finding
good
jobs for the people, right?
Nice.
So people come to us and they say, I don't know what to do. This is me. This is where I'm at. This is what's wrong with my job now. This is what I want my future to look like. And we say, okay, based on everything you've just told us, this is what we have for you.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So as opposed, like, we don't work necessarily for the restaurant, and I hope they don't mind me if anyone's listening to this to say that, but we work for the person. So we don't have a job and then say, right, let's fill it. We say, we get a person and say, right, what have we got for you.
Are you going to prospect the restaurant who say, okay, I have like an agency and I can find some stuff
no,
for you?
No, yeah. I mean, things have changed dramatically in this 6 years, yeah. right? I was a very different, in a different position in 2018 when I was hustling for work, right?
Okay.
I was like on LinkedIn sending messages every day. I didn't have any work for like a good year and I was like, that was when I was pregnant and trying my baby. And it was all different then. But I was just thinking about this, thinking about what I'm even going to talk about in this podcast. And then I thought, actually, a real turning point in COVID was the Tiki Off podcast that I was just talking to you about. I was listening to Gemma Bell, who is a, do you know her? She's the PR queen of our industry.
Maybe.
She's my PR queen anyway. And she did a podcast in the Tiki Off podcast. And she spoke about, she has like the most wonderful clients.
Okay.
And I was like, she's a bit of an idol of mine. And I listened and she said, oh, I just don't work with dickheads. And just only, you know, I turn down working with people that I don't want to work with.
Fair.
I was like, oh my God, wouldn't that just be the dream? At this point, I'm like in COVID with no business at all, let alone turning it down. And in that time, it was very quiet. And therefore, I just started on Instagram to start posting about things that I could see were happening in the industry and the problems and why people were leaving and what we could have done to stop it and what we can do then to get out of this mess and what we can do. And so a bit of that started to build me a nice following on my own, started to build people to follow and agree and share nice, well, not nice stories, actually, horrible stories.
Yeah.
And then I was in a position to start doing what I'd heard Gemma Bell do, which is say, actually, well, you're not good, so I'm going to say no to working with you because I wouldn't be able to put that lovely person I know into that job.
Mm.
And over time, turning away bad business or the wrong business became our thing.
Okay.
Therefore, now we have people messaging us daily, more, you know, regularly. So we have a huge amount of people looking for jobs through us, waiting for us to find them the right job. So there's an element of trust there that people come to us for a job knowing that we have this... there's a bit of trust that we only have the good ones.
Is it word of mouth then that people, is that how you get your new customers?
Word of mouth. We turn down business a lot. And it's not always because they're not great businesses. It's just also because we're small and we're making sure that we don't just grow for growing sake. And so we are quite selective about who we think people will want to work with, but lots of word of mouth now. We're so lucky that our core business partners, clients, whatever you want to call them, do a lot of good recommendations for us. So yes, I feel like we've got a little club of clients that actually people want to be a part of now, because actually if you work with home, you get to have like, I don't want to say first dibs, that's the worst phrase. You get to find the great people because we have them, and honestly it was through Instagram that we found our people came to us looking for jobs was through Instagram. That's how I built it over 6 years, just purely I used to post obviously job adverts on Caterer, Indeed, everything. Now we don't post anything on anywhere.
Oh, you don't post anything?
Nothing,
on the
just
website.
Our website,
because that was probably the most expensive part of your business.
Exactly.
Putting
and
those,
it's gone, and I replaced it with my marketing manager.
Yeah.
So I now no longer post anything on any job boards. Instead, I have Luca, who just continues to create, I think, good content that people find engaging. I mean, the content still comes from me in terms of industry insights and stuff like that, but he's my guy to make it happen. So yes, that used to be my cost, but anyone can post jobs on Indeed and on Caterer. That they can do that direct. What they can't do is what we've done is build a great, trusting, lovely network, really.
Nice. And so how do you make your money out of it? So just so that people understand how recruitment agencies, because obviously, like you said, there's a bad image about recruitment agencies.
It's in the same format as any other recruitment agency in that we charge a fee if we make a good introduction. I mean, the good thing about using us, if you wanted to and work with us, is that obviously you don't pay unless we find you someone amazing. It's not like you're not paying us to go looking or find you someone. But we do remain the most reasonably charged, I know that, to all our competitors, despite the fact we are like offering a slightly more personal and better service. But that's really important to us because we work with these independents. So we work with only owner-operated independents. So we don't work with any brands, chain. I mean, when I say brands, What I mean is 1, 2, 3, 4 sites.
It can be like, for example, Sager and Wild.
Yeah.
Like
we have worked with Michael. Exactly. So that's exactly it. So someone like Michael and any other businesses with a handful of sites is fine, but not to the point where it's no longer owner operated.
Okay.
Because we know the owner, so we kind of deal with the owner. We don't deal with like a random person.
HR.
Yeah, exactly. So we deal with the owner. And so it's really important that that stays. Obviously, as our businesses grow and get bigger, we want to find new founders to work with Small businesses cannot afford huge fees. They just can't afford what they'd see as bigger recruitment agency whopping percentages and fees. So yeah, we do remember. And every time I do meet another recruiter, they always say to me, "Oh my God, you're so cheap. You can't be that cheap. It's just, it really devalues you." And I do freak for a minute. And I think, well, actually, no, we're doing well. And it's too much money to ask a small independent with one restaurant owner to pay that amount of money. So we try to just keep it in check and a reasonable and fair thing.
To go a bit more into details, how do you charge? Do you charge the company, obviously?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you charge the company
a percentage?
It's
really good to clarify this, actually, because there's a lot of... I assume that everyone understands how it works,
and they really don't.
Especially when someone comes to look for a job with us, they're like, I just sort of like, oh, yeah, what are you looking for? Let me just tell you about what we've got. And I just think, actually, they don't really know what the hell's going on, and it's a bit of... I need to sort of step back. So it's a percentage of their salary that we charge to the business if they join you, literally, if they've started with you.
Yep.
And then obviously even in that probation period or whatever period of time is agreed, we wouldn't just ditch you. And like, as in, if anything went wrong, we would, find a replacement. Mm-hmm. But even still, I've got to be honest and say that our work and our commitment doesn't stop at that. It's not like, 12 weeks.
Yeah, and he's going.
I'm done. I'm sorted. It's just not like that. So, yeah, I mean, I care too much about continuing to work with the people we work with. We don't lose connection with the person we put there. And yeah, it's a nice small, and that's why I don't want to grow too big, because we'll lose that. And it's important that we don't.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, if sometime when the company grow a bit too much, you can lose this connection.
And I'm like, obsessed with not doing that.
So you're quite, obviously, you choose who you work with in terms of company. Is it the same with candidates?
Now we deal in just our website. So if they're following us, they are not kind of a time waster. They're just not. And they have considered going on. They've been on our website. They've followed us on Instagram. Or they've potentially been on my LinkedIn. But, I mean, assuming, really, they're a home person.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I just mean that we don't have a lot of time wasters. What we do have is... We do a lot of challenging on the phone. Like, realistically, most of our stuff happens on the phone.
Yeah.
It used to be we met everyone face-to-face, but if we met everyone face-to-face, it would hold the whole process
long
up.
Time.
But it's just...
Yeah.
So since COVID, we're pretty good at establishing a few things on the phone. And don't get me wrong, we do regularly challenge back and say, everything you've told me about what you want, it doesn't make any sense why you'd want to go for this job. Or, just talk me through some of these bits. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and again, we'll say, do you know what? They're nice, but then... potentially not going to work. They're not going to be right for any of our businesses that we work with. And it's just we'll often point people in the right direction of where to find the right kind of job for them. It's quality, definitely quality over quantity, the amount of applications we receive.
Oh, that's
if
great.
Someone applies, it's probably because they're actually probably right.
Yeah.
And so we don't have lots of CVs to screen or whatever.
You don't have any candidates that used to be a plumber and now they want to be head chef.
No, but recently we put site manager for a new salad concept, and we put site manager, and then it was a couple of builders, and we were like, okay, fine. That was the wrong title. But no.
The good industry.
I have a very good story actually that happened to me a few years back. We advertised a job as a market trader.
Yeah.
And obviously our name was on the... on the ad, obviously, Comptoir Gourmand, bakery,
market trader,
with the description of what they were going to do, which obviously was working at Borough Market, Chelsea Market, other markets, selling pastries and cakes. So the guy comes for the interview and he comes in whole suit.
I got that.
So literally the interview goes for half an hour, and we ask him questions. So you're going to be okay working outside? It's going to be cold. And he's like, yeah.
The office is going to be cold.
we didn't precise. That's why it went all so fluid. Like, every question, it was like, yeah, no, completely. That's fine, yeah. So, you're completely fine by standing up for a few hours. Yeah, completely. Are you fine? Shouting. And at the end, He goes, I can start whenever, really. And he goes, so where is the office then? I was like, well, this is the office, but... It's like, wait, I don't really understand.
He thinks where's market traders shouting as well. You know when you shout at the
things? But that's the thing. Like, and then he started to understand that he got it completely wrong. And he thought he was like trading, you know, like proper.
Like a finance bro, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
Wall Street.
Yeah, and you know what? He just left after the interview. He's like, okay, so actually it's a market, so I'll be selling cakes and all that. Yeah, yeah. So it's got nothing to do with banking or, you know, the finance world. And then we got an email the next day saying, you know what, I'll take the job.
Oh, God.
No way, he took the job.
So, yeah, he took the job.
Don't tell me he's now, like, well, your best.
No.
Oh, that was a shame.
No.
But actually, yeah, you were just talking then about people going from random plumbing to try and do something. We do have people completely, like, I want to join the industry. And so they're the best. Like, like completely misjudged. Like someone that's like, okay, I've been in an office job. I hate in marketing. I want to be a chef. I've been to Leith's or I've been to a cooking school and I want to be a chef in a kitchen. We have a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Loads. Absolutely loads. And that is a joy because then we're like, okay, they might need a bit of training, but they are going to be amazing. And then they are amazing.
Which is good because I feel like now we're kind of losing this passion for hospitality.
And so it's amazing to see anyone that's like, I want to be a chef, and I'm like, yes. And you also sound great and passionate, and I hope you don't lose that in a year. But at the moment, and so we do a lot of that with our best, well, not our best, but one of our favorite clients. They're Toklas. They're absolutely incredible at welcoming people as their first role in hospitality in the kitchen.
Nice.
And like, yeah, it's a dream.
But you have the candidates, you have the businesses, the restaurants mainly. In terms of percentage of people who stay at the job, like they're gonna keep the job for a long time.
Do you know what? Starting my own business means that I never have to this is my favorite thing. I never have to revisit my old world of P&L crunching number statistics. So therefore I have no idea what percentage.
Okay,
and
fair.
It's blissful. I've made a business where I never need to use a spreadsheet ever again. And that's like my favorite thing about my current business. So in terms of percentage, I couldn't tell you. It's not your average.
Okay.
For sure.
Nice.
So we're very happy about how well we do, and it's not perfect. Like people leave sometimes, and it happens. And but yeah, if you take Toklas, I just use them as an example.
Yeah.
We put this excellent business, 12 managers in there in the last 2 years, and they're all still there.
Nice.
So over the last year and a half to 2 years, we built their management team. I have to be honest as well, though, and say that I always want to balance stories about our clients with ones that are smaller little neighborhood joints that can't afford 12 managers via a recruitment agency. Mm. It's not all about being big central London cool or whatever. Actually, we've got lots of little businesses where actually we put someone in 2-3 years ago and they're still there and they're very happy. And I think if you look at our Instagram, you'll sort of see people, videos of people saying it genuinely was perfect job for me and I'm so happy and I've grown through the business. And I mean, Alex, obviously I put her in her job, so
she's a good
example.
Know.
Yeah, that's that was that 3 years ago. I mean, she has actually just left.
She just left
this week.
I think we can see it now because
but 3 years in a head of wine role that she grew into. I put her in as a GM of Bistro Freddy at Bar Crispin in 2021.
So
3 years with the business, and I know they've loved every minute of working with her, as has she. So
nice. Yeah. So you know also Anna.
I put Anna in her job.
And Anna as well.
Yeah. Oh. And Alex, the operations manager, I put him there. Lewis, the head chef at Crispin, I put him there. So they've all been there for, Lewis has been there for 2.5 years as well. So I did all of the senior people in that business as an example. Yeah.
You say like it's not mostly like natural one bar or restaurant in London.
It's a thing, yeah.
But are you mainly focused for East London?
Or do you know what? No, not at all. So Charlotte just joined us. She is like she was a GM and wine buyer at Elliston Street and for Phil Howard. So she is a traditional wine hub. And so she's joined us now with a different view, and she's just now taken on a new role. She's looking after Hambledon Wine Estate down in Hampshire. It's English sparkling wine, and we're looking for like a big GM for there. And so I was like, do you know what? Luca is a cool East London guy. I know a bit of East London. Hayley's quite knows a bit of East London. So we brought Charlotte on just to balance the scales.
Okay.
Because otherwise we just had a type. Yeah. East London natural wine bars.
Which is not bad.
I mean, which is not bad. And honestly, it has been our best. It's been brilliant for us. But it's good just to have something. We were, for example, we worked with Maison Francois, and it was so nice to work with Maison Francois to have a balance of like, oh, you know, you're not East London natural wine. Yeah. You could be great for them. And so we just want a nice mix of something a little bit more. We got Lowe's in Notting Hill, but even that was still it's like East London natural wine bars, but in Notting Hill. So like, we just want to balance a bit so that we have a nice, because people get in touch with us and we're like, do you know what? We haven't got anything for you because we're so East London, not location, but vibe, you know, like we just got all this really like cool, you know, small plates vibe. Actually, he's like, oh, I just want main courses.
Do you see any difference between the candidate coming from West and East? Like, it's
vast
already. Okay.
Yeah. I talk to people and they live in London Fields and they will not travel outside. It's completely different.
Yeah.
They're not completely, but yeah, completely. And people who live in East won't travel West. People who live in West don't ever go East.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's so... We've got a new opening.
It's very bizarre, isn't it, when you think about
it? Yeah, because everything's within an hour, but it doesn't matter. It's like, the first question we ask is, the last questions we ask, actually, and location? And they're like, oh, just only Southeast. Or only East. I won't go North, won't go West. It's like, fine, yeah. So that's why I want to have enough good stuff for everyone.
Yeah. Makes sense. And in terms of outside London, are you working a bit, as you said before, outside London?
All just rurally.
Yeah.
All countryside spots. Yeah,
okay,
Gloucestershire, Shropshire. But they're all very, very foodie.
Foodie, okay.
Really
so
foodie.
More kitchen.
Really, well, yeah, but also you'd bring a manager there too. There's just basically, I'm sure you know, across the UK now, there are just the best countryside spots popping up that are just so beautiful. And it's all about day trips out of London and going... And we just, you know, we've got a hotel on the beach down in Rye, which is a sandy beach, which is not normal for that area. And just lots of, in the middle of nowhere, with regenerative farming, you know, kitchen gardens. That's what chefs want and managers are saying.
Kitchen gardens, that sounds...
Kitchen gardens, yeah, exactly. So Nep Wilding Kitchen, which is in Sussex. It's like people just love it and it's just gorgeous. And people want a bit of a break from London life and they
of course
want a relocation.
Obviously, London, for me, at the moment, London is really at its peak in terms of, like, food scene at the moment.
Unbeatable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if they can spread out to the countryside, for those who wants to get out of London and bring all that experience.
It's like, we just had a husband and wife get in touch, and he was like, you know, we want to buy a pub in the country, so I just wanted to let you know that. And we were like, oh, we have a pub. You won't be buying the pub, but you could go and work. And his wife wanted to be front of house, and he wanted to be the chef, but he was like, I have to use... Like, it has to be the kitchen garden. It has to be, like, ethical sourcing. And I have to, like, ideally, like, you know, use a local farm. And it just ticked all the boxes. And they both moved there. And they both live there in the middle of Shropshire now. And you suddenly realise our job becomes a little bit more like, oh, that's massive, you know. Yeah. And they've gone there. But, you know, it's incredible. And it's what I've done. Not quite country. It's more country than this, but it's still town on the sea. I'm not a proper country girl.
So what is your day-to-day, you know, life? You don't have your office in London.
We work a four-day week, which has been a thing that I've done.
Great.
So we have Fridays off, and the team love that. I'm not as good at keeping to it as they are, which is the right way around. But, I need to be better. And so our days are like, you know, 9 to 5, but not also because things slip over and people want to chat at night. But honestly, we wake up, all work from home, Monday, Tuesday and Thursday. And then Wednesdays we meet in London, all of us. Or they come to me sometimes if it's a nice day. I'm like, let's come to me instead and we can be on the beach.
So do you work on that Wednesday?
Do you know what we do? We just have Wednesday is our people meeting where Hayley, Charlotte and I, because Luca's marketing, he'll sit with us to hang out with us, but he'll be marketing-y.
Okay.
And we will just literally on a Wednesday sit for 2 or 3 hours and talk about everyone that we've spoken to in the last week and just talk about, because other recruitment agencies, as far as I'm aware, they will have their people and it's like they're commission based. So they will like, I've got this person, I'm going to put them in that job and I'm going to gatekeep them or whatever.
Yeah.
But we're like very much into sharing. So we will sit around and we will be like, well, we've spoken to this person, this is what they want. I'll be like, oh my God, we could talk to them about that. And we just do that we've just done that for the last 3 hours before I came here.
That's good.
So it's just like, it's just good for us to all see each other. We all love working from home because we've got kids and, because people like working from home. But I think once a week to get together see each other's faces is important. Otherwise, you go a bit stir crazy.
All your team's coming from hospitality as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hayley's a chef. She was a chef in, well, she actually started in marketing at Rude Health. Mm. And then she was a chef for Jeremy Lee at Quo Vadis. So she left marketing, said, I want to be a chef. One of those people I was just talking about. So she did that. She went to be a chef with Jeremy Lee, and he taught her, like, as he does, the most incredible chef, like inspired her to be a chef. Then she moved down to Cornwall to be a CDP down in Cornwall, and then she moved to Brighton, and then she was one of my first like followers that I started engaging with. And so I was like, do you want to come and work for me? Because for me it's way more about personality. I don't need any recruitment experience, like that's fine, we can do that, because any experience causes bad habits. It's like, let's just do it our way, just be nice people and care about what we, you know, just care about the end goal, basically. So yeah, Hayley's a chef, and as I said, Charlotte's a GM and wine buyer, and then Luca is hospitality in Oz. He's from Adelaide. I've just sponsored him, actually, so he's here to stay.
Oh, that's good. You sponsor him. Oh,
yeah. And so so we're all from hospitality.
That's great. I have a question since the beginning I wanted to ask, but so we all know at the moment finding staff in hospitality is very difficult. What's your point of view on this subject to find staff? Do you think it's still very difficult?
I would say, of course, it's definitely difficult, because I speak to people who are doing amazing things, like we just can't get any applications. I'm like, oh, that's so frustrating. Like, how can you not, especially when they're... You're just fighting against the noise, right? Mm. Of all the recruitment noise that is, and like people don't want to put it on their Instagram constantly. Like, we're hiring, yeah. But obviously their Instagram is the best way. Like, it's the way. But they're like, oh, I've already posted, I don't want to post again. And so I do think it's undoubtedly hard, but at the lowest levels, right? I will still stand by that the more senior you go, the easier it is.
Yeah.
That's my view, and I think that's the view. But I think the difficulty, the thing that people could potentially do better at is holding on to people. It's not the finding. It's like, why? There's probably not enough self-reflection about, well, why did they leave? Could you have done more? Why are you looking? Why did that person leave? Not all the time. People just leave because they've done with the industry. Yeah. But actually, it's
That's
more
so
about the long-term stability. It's what more progression, what... Did you talk to them enough? Did you actually, before they decided, because so often people are like, I want to leave. And I'm like, well, how come? Because you're just going to step into the same job somewhere. It sounds like you haven't spoken to them. Just talk to them. I guarantee you, you'll find a way out. Like, you'll find a compromise, because they will not want to lose you. So, I would say, yes, it's hard, of course. But there are lots of exciting, brilliant new chefs and restaurant managers around. But they obviously have very different desires, needs, and wants to what they did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You've got to adapt to that. You've got to know that.
But there's a chef, I think it's Grégory Marchand, I'm not really sure. The chef of Frenchie.
Oh, yeah.
Frenchie restaurant, who's now closing
closed,
in London.
Yeah.
But yeah. He still have a few restaurants in Paris. And he was saying that 20 years ago, when he started his career, Candidate was like ringing at the door, like, I want to work with Beef Chef. And now it's the opposite. Now the chef have to look for candidates to work.
I remember those beautiful days. Yeah, a lot of the employees, they're not scared of losing their job. Whereas before, you know, they had to hang onto it because there was so much competition. Every day you had, you know, 3-4 CVs, and, you know, you could be a bit more strict. Today, obviously, it's much more... You have to be, you know, let off, you know, the phones behind the counters.
Oh,
now you
God,
see
yeah.
all of I that. Mean, I mean, it's not hospitality as it used to be before COVID. But, yeah, times change, really.
Times change. And I think it's, you know, when we do meet up with someone, which obviously people are, I'd love to work with you, I'd love to have you help us find us people. And I sort of go and meet them. And they're just harping onto the glory days and saying no one wants to work anymore. And everyone's lazy and people's calling sick all the time, whatever. It's just... unhelpful, and yes, it's different, but genuinely I work with loads of businesses that hold on to people for a long time and they still manage them and so there is a very particular it's way harder, and I don't know how I'd cope. I don't know how I love to think I'd be this really caring, kind, collaborative leader, but also, like, put your fucking phone away. Can I say that?
It's fine. You can say
I'll say it with you if you want.
And so I it's very, and I think it's really easy for me to sit on a podcast or behind my Instagram and say, do better. And I absolutely try to take it from a point of thinking from everyone's side. But some people just do not welcome and embrace the new generation like they should and understand that people don't want to work like they used to. They don't. They want to work differently. They want to get different things from work.
Yeah.
Not everyone. Some people want to work like mad. Some people want to dedicate themselves still to the job. They want to like work every hour.
Yeah.
You can have all of your those people, and you can have the people that just come in to earn a living and want to leave again, and they can work alongside each other, and they're as important as each other.
Yeah. Of course.
I find I'm in a situation which is quite funny, because I have about four employees that have been with us between 10 to 15 years now.
Okay.
So amazing. We're talking about very long.
Yeah.
And and I've got 20 years old from the house. And as you can see just behind, they work right next to these guys that have been here for, you know, nearly 15 years. And when they see a 20-year-old on their phone quite often and, you know, kind of not really... Yeah, being quite active, let's say. They come to me and say, Quentin, bloody hell, like, me, if I was on my phone, you know, 10 years ago, it would be completely a slap on the head, or, you know, it'll be what it used to be. And they, obviously, they take it okay, but I can feel their frustration, basically, which you have that mix, which is not great, because it doesn't fit. It doesn't, like, everything at work is fine, you know, there's no fight about it or anything like that, but they have that frustration, which you can see. I mean, I've got a bit of frustration when I see my employees when they're on their phone or not doing stuff, and you see the tables where they need to be cleaned, or there's stuff to do. There's always stuff to do in hospitality. But if you say anything and you're a bit too hard with them, that's where they go, okay, ciao, goodbye, I move somewhere else.
It is really tough. And honestly, to be honest, we do roll in a slightly unusual space in the industry, because we talk to managers only. We don't talk to team members, but, you know, we don't have team member applications to talk to them. So we talk to managers. So we don't really talk to those entry level kind of people, but we talk to the manager about what it's like and how inexperienced everyone is, how young they are, and how unwilling they are to commit and long term. But I still see people, and it's all we've got, right?
Yeah.
And it's thanks to Brexit. And I'm not just talking about your Eastern European workers would like work harder. It's just not about that. It's just about the whole
commitment.
Mixing pot that hospitality and should be. And so we do only have what we have, and therefore also there's just so many people that are really still super willing and keen to work. 100%. And I get that. And
can you see it literally in your candidates?
100%. But also lots of people that are, you know, it used to be, even in 2018 or 2019, I'm 35 now, I want to get out of like restaurants and get off the floor. Now people are like, I'm 25 now, I want to get off the floor. And you're like, 25, oh my god, you're
still
like
15 years
because
ago,
because they're like, no, I just don't see this as my, I want to get in an office. And there, but there is the holy other jobs. We've done the full circle now, right? In COVID, people went and did the other job that's like account management for a supplier, for example, or an office job where they to go and work in somewhere that is rubbish. And now they're like, okay, I am back, because there's nothing like hospitality. I will only be happy here. So can you please find me a job that's nice? Not one of the ones that I came from, but like a nice balanced one. And then which we are happy to say there are lots of those.
I kind of blame the big, huge chains like Pret, Mackey's, all of these that have really expanded and taken jobs that are not personal, like you're doing with, you know, all the so basically you're finding the perfect job for the person. There it's more like, you know, I would say the big.
Interesting. That's really fascinating, because I sort of don't think I agree with that in the sense of like, well, I'm from big and branded, and I did 65-hour weeks every single week for 10 years.
Your previous generation.
But what I mean is, yes, you're right, but I think that some of the fine dining world is worse. Like the kind of Michelin.
100%.
And also the independent, a lot of the independent sector is less protected. And so some of the old school operators ruined it for lots of people, and they were like, oh, this is grim, I'll never do it again. Whereas the branded bit is slightly more protected in a way. But certainly there's that real, like, if you don't do 70 hours, you're weak, I mean, and I'm strong is yeah. definitely from the fine dining world.
I think for these kind of people who worked in Michelin star, it's really because they want to prove themselves in the hospitality. I mean, they're dedicated already. People who work for Pret, for example, you don't even get a hello or a goodbye anymore. You just get, do you want a bag?
Yeah, but like you're taking the completely opposite when you're like, for example, you can comparing Pret à Manger and Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, no, of course.
It's like two different, it's the same industry,
100%.
But it's two different businesses.
But what I want to say is the passion about working in hospitality, it doesn't come from Pret. It will come from, you know.
I'm sure there's a lot of different personality in your candidates, a few different people who want like different career.
For me, just working for, you know, big brand, they just tell you what you have to tell from the book. There's no personality about it, and that's what they think hospitality is. If they've known only that, then you come out of Pret, you're like, okay, well, what's next? I mean, you don't even know what real hospitality is.
No.
Hospitality is about saying hello, goodbye at the end.
No, of course, you know, no. This
a whole journey.
Sense. Yeah.
Whereas there, it's just, you know. What do you actually learn about hospitality is nothing. You learn obviously skills, but it's not hospitality.
No, you're a digit, definitely a digit.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, there you go.
Again, because it's too big.
Yeah.
I would definitely say my best customer service experience and my most passion for the industry was with Pizza Express, and that was 365 restaurants and pretty big company. Yeah. That was pretty big.
It's big.
But I suppose that was early, right? So it's my first job, so maybe that's why. Because I'm like, oh my God, people are happy. I'm making them happy. And like, I was all green.
But again, you were
excited.
The you know, older generation. We're in the same generation where, you know, when you worked, you didn't have your phone on you. Or we didn't have phones back then, probably. Probably we did, but not.
I think you did.
But it wasn't like social media on it and anything like that. It was you're just to phone and text, maybe, and that's it. Like, but when you turned up at work and it was, you know,
yeah,
you had to be
fully uniform. Yeah, because you're a business owner. It's just very easy for me to say these things, having not worked in on the floor for 7 years. It's easy for me to say, oh, you know, it's not helpful. And I get it. It's actually really bloody difficult. And that's the GMs that we speak to every day. Like, I just need a break from the... Because every time you do train someone, they oh, my God, this person could be good. I've just trained them. And then they leave. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. And It's so expensive.
Mm-hmm. But
what kind of advice will you give to, like, candidates who are looking for, like, job in hospitality now?
When you say advice, you mean in, like, how to job hunt or, like, how...
Let's say someone is not from the industry, okay, and you want to join the hospitality industry.
Well, obviously, just to call us and we'll talk you through it. But aside, honestly, like, I don't have any advice to any candidates. I'm always like, be yourself and you'll get be yourself.
Okay, that's advice.
Literally be yourself. I'm always, you know, we don't prep candidates for interviews. We're not like, right, these are the questions they might ask you. This is... Because I'm just like, be yourself. If you're not right for the job, then...
What's the point?
Just be yourself. Yeah. Literally be yourself. So, but I will always have advice for the owner. So, because it's the owner has to impress the interviewee. You go, you be yourself, and I'll call the owner and be like, right, this person is amazing. I really want you to get them. This is, like, she loves this. You know, and I'm asking the restaurant to impress them. So... Nice.
Which is great. I mean, it's a different approach.
It's the current approach.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
you know, people will go for 4 or 5 interviews in a day.
Wow, yeah.
Not
yeah.
with us, but I just mean in life.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, I've got a day off. I'm just going to go
in
one
general,
an hour.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's mad. And so, you know, they might have 2 with us, but they'll have 4 interviews on their own back.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's up to you in an interview to really impress. And I think people are still in the old school mindset of like... doing crap interviews.
A lot. Yeah.
Oh, it's just crap. And I'm like, oh my God, you had a moment. That was your moment to get them and you didn't impress them.
Yeah, no, of course.
I think also there's a lot of interviews that are still a bit old school, if I may say. Like in the very old school way, always asking the same question.
Or worse still, a grilling.
Oh, yeah.
Grilling. A grilling still happens a lot. Oh, I got really grilled. And I'm like, oh, and what? And then it's, you know, you might not think they're right for your business. But you need the lasting impression of that to be positive, right?
So
how they talk about you. And,
and
you know, I'm just anti-hard grillings. If you can see somebody probably isn't right, then just let them go and don't decide to knuckle down on them and make the questions even harder so they realise it themselves. That's my pet hate.
Yeah, exactly. No, completely. Well, thank you very much, Lauren.
All right.
Thank you
very much for your time today.
It's been good.
Enjoy the game.
I know.
Come on, England.
And guys, yeah, don't forget to leave a little review, a little comment on the podcast, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It's actually available on all platforms.
Please do it.
Thank you very much, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. The Hospitality Podcast.